the Social Media Church Podcast, a place for conversations with church leaders about social media. You're listening to episode 107. Thank you for tuning in again, and it's been a cold winter in many parts of these here United States. I am your host, DJ Chuang, and our website is socialmedia.church, where you can subscribe, add your feedback, call our voicemail line, drop me an email, use Twitter, Facebook, however you want to connect with me and continue the conversations here that we've been having for over 2 years, over 100 episodes. A lot of great chatter, a lot of valuable insights for you to dig and mine and marinate over. And on this episode in particular, I want to introduce you to someone of the next generation. Yes, the elusive and often commented generation called the Millennials. And I happen to be the father of one. And so I invited my son, Jeremiah Chuang, to join me for a conversation and give us some insight about what goes on in the mind of a typical Millennial, or at least in this case, one particular Millennial, and he's careful to qualify his perspectives to share with you. Now, unfortunately, my audio recorder ran out just as we were finishing up, and I will share with you his closing thought after the conversation that was recorded live in person at our dining table. So happy, so proud, and so grateful to be dad of Jeremiah Chuang and to have him on this podcast. Thank you, Jeremiah, for making time out of your valuable school schedule on a school night to talk with us on Social Media Church Podcast.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here. It's a valuable opportunity to be able to discuss social media with my father.
We can just have a conversation, Jeremiah. I just want to kind of walk down memory lane. And you are 17 years old, born in 1997, so you're on the younger end of being part of the millennial generation. So how does it feel to represent your generation?
It's a bit overwhelming because I'm not sure if I alone can speak for my entire generation. And it's like you said, being on the younger side of the generation means that I can also be part of the 2000, the next generation. And so I'm somewhere in the middle.
You might be in between. And depending on your preferences, you might lean one way or the other. But we won't know what the next generation's like because we're just starting to figure out what millennials are like.
Yeah, we'll just have to wait and see.
Wait and see.
In this dynamic world, how technology will shape everyone.
Yeah. Okay, so you've grown up in a world that's always had the internet. Do you recall the time when you first used a computer and got on the internet?
I can't think of a specific moment. But then that I first used the internet, but I remember there being an important time when I went to one of the public libraries back in Maryland.
Yes.
Using the clunky keyboards and trying to look up a book and find information about it and doing research for a school project.
Okay.
But I knew that was important.
Now, back in that day, do you remember how old you were?
I'd say 7.
Okay, so around age 7. The game that I remember you playing a lot was Neopets.
Oh, yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, and what amazed me, as well as the older gentleman who was probably 70 years old, sitting at the internet kiosks, you went right up to the computer and you typed google.com.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that from my friend Griffin, because he had used it to do his school research, and then I just needed a convenient tool such as Google, which was really small back then.
Yeah, but when you did that, you did it with such ease and comfort and confidence that the 7-year-old guy's like, man, who is this kid? He just knows how to use computers. It's pretty amazing.
I think it's because youthful kids don't have like this established set of try and find or especially research, this research example, it's just they're trying to get to the answer, and there aren't really any obstacles because they don't have any, like, learned notions of how of the right way to do it, whether to look at encyclopedias and, like, old-fashioned research. So internet is just, like, another means to do it, and then...
Yeah, I guess
because kids are just learning everything.
Yeah, I guess there's not a fear of breaking the computer or doing something wrong. It's just data.
Yeah. It's just like, yeah, it's just data, like you said.
Okay. Any other thoughts as you started to learn the World Wide Web? I mean, there's so much information. How do you know you're looking at the right thing?
It's just hard to say.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of information.
Then let's say you use Google and you come up with 20 search results on the first page. How do you decide which one to click on?
For me, I read all the titles of the first 5 or 6 entries and choose the best one out of that. And then
how do you tell what's best?
I have to keep in mind what I'm actually looking for.
Okay.
To try and not get distracted. Because because with Google, you can't say exactly what you're trying to find.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you can't just type, find me the how much money tax revenue is. It's not that simple. You want it. You would.
But I'm sure Google's working on that.
Yeah, but you just want to focus on keywords when using Google now. And hopefully in the future, they'll be, like, able to anticipate how people phrase their questions. And
yeah, and you know, that works on domain names. And so I'm curious, do you look at the domain name to see if it's a reliable website?
I look at that when I'm looking up school research stuff, when I have to focus on using only credible sources.
Okay, and what do they say about Wikipedia?
They say that Wikipedia is not credible, meaning that you can't cite it as a source. But when I'm just trying to find the, like, background information or to try and get a general scope of what's going on, Wikipedia is an okay source.
Okay.
Well, it's actually reliable most of the time. But then the reason that you can't cite it is because it's fairly easy for anyone to edit it.
Yes.
I mean, it's still regulated, but it's if someone wanted to, like, sabotage the information or just to, like, if they were honestly just trying to update a page, and they could do it.
Yeah.
But then sometimes people just are misinformed.
Right.
And by putting it on the Wikipedia page and making an edit, that spreads the misinformation.
Yes.
But then, of course, there are other people who know what the truth is, and so they're monitoring it, monitoring the pages too.
And there's probably a word for that back and forth, editing and correcting, when people are trying to make it less accurate false information versus accurate good information.
Yeah.
You know, Dad edits Wikipedia entries.
Yeah, you do.
And I could maybe teach you how to do that.
Oh, thanks. That'd be a good skill.
Maybe you can do something for your high school and give some updates on what's happening at Aliso Miguel.
Yeah, I could add a few sentences about the music program there.
Oh, there you go. Very good. Now, since this podcast is supposed to be about social media and the church, so let's go into that segment of our conversation.
All right.
All right. So as we felt you were responsible and mature, we slowly gave you permission or bought you equipment to let you use new technology. And one of the first new pieces was a laptop in middle school. Do you remember when you got that, what grade you were in and how old you were?
I think it was 5th grade.
Okay, so in 5th grade, we get you a compact laptop. And describe what the first thing you did with it was. Describe what was the first thing you did with that laptop.
Yeah.
Because well, it really thing, surprised me.
Yeah. Another thing that surprised you is... what's cool about a new laptop is that you have a clean slate. And so you get to customize it yourself. And, like, the first thing is just, like, putting your name on it, choosing a desktop background, basic stuff like that. But then the big thing that I did to surprise you was I wanted to choose a really good web browser because Internet Explorer was already kind of dying. And so Google Chrome was a big thing. And as I said, Google's really big now. And so the first thing I did that surprised you was download Google Chrome as my default web browser.
Yeah, and then you downloaded it, and you never looked back. And you also customized it with some bookmarks. Describe your thinking process on that.
Well, as a default web browser, I wanted to have my default web pages on it, meaning that by bookmarking the pages that I visit a lot, they'll always be just a click away. I won't have to bother typing in the URL every time. And I can just, or just always have them open. So I can check them every so often and keep informed.
Yeah, so I've never seen anybody else do that. The way you organized your bookmarks was phenomenal. So you use the favorites bar to just have the icons, which is very space efficient. So you have more bookmarks just visible on the favorites bar. And then you also had a folder for daily and weekly. What were you thinking there?
Well, some important... Well, with the just the icon ones, I did the ones that have, like, logos that are recognizable. And so... Because I didn't want to bother with having to, like, read it every time. Because if these are my bookmarks that I use all the time, I'll know what they are. I don't want to, like, read the description every time. And so with Google as a search engine, I could just always that have that as a page.
Yeah.
So I want to go to the Google page... to look at maybe the Google Doodles, which are cool every day, so I can find out about important historical events or anniversaries that correlate with the dates.
Very cool.
And then with the daily pages, it's like it's the things like checking your mail, and then as time goes on, checking your Facebook or checking your Twitter, stuff like that that you want to check daily, if not like hourly or anything. That you just always want to be have with have. Close.
Do you prefer to do that in the morning or in the evening?
I'd say the evening because in the morning I'm getting ready for school. And so...
And then how about weekly? Which day of the week do you do your weeklies?
Probably on the weekends.
Okay.
Because I want to have a like block of downtime to like be in the mode to process the weekly stuff.
Very cool.
So I think of Sundays as the start of the week, not Mondays. And so I just do it on Sunday, Sunday afternoon. It's a good time.
Okay, and then how about social media? When did you first get introduced to social media? Which network did you sign up on first?
It was Facebook, and I started that as soon as I was legally allowed to when I turned 13. Of course, this depended on my parents' approval, and so they helped me set it up and everything.
And what was the condition that we set in place?
The condition was that since this Facebook would create like with like privacy issues and stuff, then like it's allowing me to express myself or do whatever, connect with my friends online. The condition upon getting a Facebook account was that my parents had were monitoring me the whole time, so I couldn't like say whatever I want, which is fine. Because it means that I have to be presenting myself onto the internet, so vast and so much data, presenting myself wholesomely and with my parents' approval.
So we also have password access.
Yeah, password access in a way that they'll always be happy and proud of me because they're my parents.
Well, we are proud of you, and you you don't test the boundaries very much.
Nope.
Are you? How come you're not tempted like some other teenagers might be to do things that are like shady or quote unquote fun? Or it's not interesting.
Yeah, it's just that like with testing the boundaries, I have to be willing to like go there, and I guess it's just never really been an option, so it's just never really passed my mind.
Okay. So, how important is Facebook to you, and how do you use it?
Um, I guess I would say it has to be important because I spend a lot of time checking it.
Mm-hmm.
But then compared to, like, in terms of importance compared to, like, I guess, like, school priorities or family priorities or band priorities, it's not really much. But it's important because it's, as social media, it's about connecting with friends and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so the way I do that with Facebook, because it has a lot of features, like it even owns Instagram and stuff. I don't have an Instagram, and so the way I use it is mainly through chat. I don't actually post much on my, timeline?
Mm-hmm.
It's walls. I
use
it mostly in chat messages.
Okay.
To keep up with friends who are also online and also keep their Facebook tabs open.
Yeah.
Yeah, just for, like, quick messages about homework or scheduling or, like, hey, when do you want to hang out? Stuff like that.
Cool.
Simple.
And then once in a while you share photos?
Yeah, every so often. Every so often meaning, like, once a month or something.
Okay.
Well, I actually don't post that much.
Who are the people you connect with the most in your high school?
Well, of course, this is limited to people who are actually on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And so for privacy reasons, I will be calling this individual Joao, which is,
oh,
he also has like John.
Yeah, you don't have
a
husband name, but like
funny.
The groups of people, like
mm-hmm.
marching band, of course.
Yeah, there are people in marching band. There are people who share my classes with me and have been longtime
okay.
friends.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
And then how about?
Also,
other people.
Now that I'm a senior, my older friends who have graduated and gone on to college, I can keep up with them on Facebook.
Yes.
So that's nice.
Good. And do you have special interests where you join other pages or other groups to meet new people?
The groups that I'm affiliated with, I don't join them to meet with new people, but rather to just to like be on the Facebook page of a club at school. Or the Facebook page of, say, the trumpet section in my marching band. So it's to connect people that I already know, not so much to meet new people.
Okay. How about some of the other networks that are out there? Do you use Twitter?
I actually don't have a Twitter. I mentioned it earlier, but I don't.
Okay. Do you use Instagram?
I had one, but I don't.
Okay. You have a smartphone now?
Yeah, I do have a smartphone.
How has that changed your social media habit?
Or
not.
On my smartphone, I use Snapchat a lot.
Okay.
I guess it's just cool to keep up with people's stories. And it's interesting, it's an interesting mechanic that Snapchat is not stored on your phone.
Uh-huh.
And so, with my phone, it has a limited storage.
Uh-huh.
So that's helpful for me.
Okay.
And then,
and talk a little bit about your church. What do you do, which church do you go to, and what do you do in the youth group?
I go to Coast Hills Community Church
mm-hmm.
here in Aliso Viejo. And so I used to go to Rock Harbor Church in Costa Mesa,
mm-hmm.
but because of just like technical difficulties and like scheduling, or just the distance to drive there and stay involved, I switched to Coast Hills Community Church at the start of my freshman year in high school, so I've been going there these 4 years and building those friendships while here. And then, so regarding social media, like Snapchat, I'm friends on Snapchat with people at my church and also on Facebook, and so I can ask them if I ever need anything. Or talk to them just really easily and openly.
And how often do you do that?
It's actually not that often, but
okay.
I know it's an option.
So your youth group meets weekly?
Yeah, my youth group meets
and so
weekly.
You
so
might
there's
do
the,
chats how often?
Yeah, there's the regular... I don't have to chat that much using
sure.
social media.
Okay.
Because I see them at school and stuff.
Okay.
So, because
okay.
I prefer real in-person stuff, which is kind of ironic for my generation, which is what I was thinking of, but didn't have the words for. This is okay. What I was thinking of when I was saying I might not represent my generation fully because I'm not fully integrated with, like, I don't have a Twitter, I don't have Instagram. I'm not involved in everything like I think most.
You think most of them are?
In my generation are.
Oh.
No, I think Facebook and Twitter are like the bare minimums you might want to have because they're the biggest ones.
Okay.
And so if you want to keep up with like everything.
Yeah. Okay. And how does your church youth group use social media?
My church youth group has the church website in terms of social media. And so they post flyers and graphics of like... Okay. Of events that they've planned. They post those on the website, but they also have a church Instagram for the high school group.
Oh, good.
For the high school ministry.
But you don't have Instagram.
Yeah, so I'm missing out.
Yeah,
I deactivated my account,
but
I should reactivate it.
You can go to just instagram.com/whatever right. the user ID, so you can still look.
Right.
You can't like or comment.
Yeah, okay.
That's all.
So yeah, that's easy enough.
Just a tip for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Anything else you would say to pastors and church leaders trying to better serve and minister to young people? What should they do on social media? What should they not?
I don't have like a very well-defined opinion on this, but...
Okay, that's fine.
But I guess it's...
And that was where the audio cut out because the battery level dipped below what the recorder needed to keep active on recording. And the closing thought that Jeremiah wanted to share with you, our listeners, is that the advantage to the millennial, particularly those who are still in the student age of high school or college or maybe grad school, is they're constantly in learning mode. And so when they look at new opportunities or new challenges or new situations, they're open to learn and therefore they're open to change. And Jeremiah believes that that makes a big difference in how they are able to adapt and pivot and be agile and make the most of the new technologies that we have available to us, whether that's social media or internet or new technologies that are around the corner here as we speak in 2015. That was my conversation with Jeremiah Chuang, my dearly beloved and only begotten son. And he will be going into college this fall, the fall of 2015. And if you'd like to wish him well, you can add a comment to the show notes for this episode, which will be at socialmedia.church/107. That's for episode 107 with Jeremiah Chuang. The URL again, socialmedia.church/107. If you liked this episode, perhaps you'll check out some of the previous episodes. You can browse the whole archive by guests or by titles. When you go to socialmedia.church, roll over the About tab and you can either click on Guests or Episodes, and you can either look at all the avatars or all the titles and text and click the ones that you haven't heard yet or ones you want to hear again. Feel free to share. We are open source here. We want to start the conversations and would invite you to join in. And if you really want to join in, I have an open invite for you to do just that. Under the About tab at socialmedia.church, you can click on Contact and reserve a time to record an episode so that we can have a live conversation and share it with other listeners here. It's an open source conversation with church leaders about social media. So glad you could join us for this episode. Subscribe to us on iTunes or whatever your favorite podcatcher is. And I'd love to hear from you because a conversation is only a conversation when you join in. I'm not here to monologue, although right now I am to set it up to invite you to join in. Well, there you go. I'm rambling. Let me wrap this up. Again, thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. And thank you for sharing. My name is DJ Chuang, and until next time, let's stay connected online.